This is the time in our service that we're highlighting all of the animals that are here this morning and the animals that they represent in our Blessing of the Animals Sunday. In our church, we call it Blessing of the Animals. In some churches, it's called St. Francis of Assisi Sunday, because St. Francis of Assisi, that saint, was known as someone who would go out into the woods, out into the nature, the fields, and would go out and would preach to the animals and celebrate God's love and grace that he would witness there with them in all of their animality. And so it's always been a joyful part of the Christian tradition to give thanks for the animals and for God's creation in that way. So I'll invite, if you are willing and you would like to, if you brought an animal today or one of your pets, you can come and gather in this area for our blessing. If you don't want to, it's fine. We'll also sort of work our way around the sanctuary as we do a small liturgy to celebrate. But if you are open to bringing them kind of right in the center here and giving us some visual representation, you would certainly be welcome to. Think about it like worship and wonder, but this is for the pets as we kind of gather.
And if it's easier to stay in your seat, you can do that too.
Let's see, we've got dogs, we've got guinea pigs. Any cats?
There's a cat over there, but I don't know if she's coming to the center.
Okay, there's a beautiful, beautiful Labrador.
Oh, the cat's coming. All right. Oh, yeah. Hi. Oh, yeah, you tell us about it.
Yeah, the Huskies are going to talk.
We got Mosey. Oh. Yeah, I know.
There's a fly. Nobody brought the fly, but there is a fly.
It counts.
Just part of the,
it counts.
Part of the whole image.
All right. All right. We got dogs and being carried. We got dogs walking. I love it.
Great.
Dogs getting treats over here. I said a word I shouldn't have said out loud. All right. Creator God, you have made a beautiful world filled with wonder and surprises. We adore you. Creator God, who has gifted us with the blessing of animals in our lives, those who are in the wild, those on farms, those in our own homes. Creator God, we adore you.
Creator God, you brought into being that which we could not even imagine for ourselves, life we cannot even see, even with the aid of microscopes. Animals we can only see in pictures from remote regions from this beautiful planet Earth. We adore you. We thank you, God, for abundant life, for the birds that we hear in the mornings, including those parrots that are so incredibly noisy, for the drone of the bees when we are outside, and for the vast tapestry of life which is interwoven. We give you thanks, gracious God.
And Creator God, we thank you for the gift of our own animal companions, including those who have passed on from our loving arms, for the joy they've brought and continue to bring, for the unconditional love and forgiveness which teaches us about you, for the confidant, the listener, the stress releaser, for the benefits they are to our health and our spirit, we give you thanks.
We thank you for giving these pets who bring us so much joy. As you take care of us, so also we ask for your help, that we might take care of those who trust us to look after them. By doing this, we share in your own love for all of creation. We ask that you would bless each and every one of these pets gathered here, those who are at home, those who have passed on, and who have yet to come into our lives. Amen.
Amen. All right. We will also, in addition to this, if you and your pet would like a individual blessing after service, Molly Rose and I will be out front to do individual blessings as well. But with this, be blessed and return to your seats in whatever way works best for you and your animal. All right. Well, it is one of my absolute favorite things about this church that on any given Sunday, thank you, look at that, thank you. That too, that's a favorite thing, noticing when I drop a whole page of my sermon. But that on any given Sunday, there are at least a couple pets in the crowd. Now, not only is this special because I absolutely love animals, my dream job when I was little was to be a cheetah trainer and a ballerina. And no, I didn't dream of two jobs. I dreamed of one job. It was the same thing. I was going to train cheetahs while doing ballet. I digress. But not only is it special because of this love for animals, but because of what I think it communicates to us, that they're here. I've seen how the presence of a pet can calm nervous energies. Now, a few years back when we had our ofrenda for All Souls Day, we had it outside during the pandemic, and I brought my dog with me. And he absolutely understood the assignment because he would just go around gently resting his chin on the lap of people who were grieving, knowing that they needed a little extra comfort that day. Our pets can be so soothing to us. And I've also seen how the presence of animals in our service creates a holy joy as dogs bark out at perfect times, howl along with the music, eat the crumbs off the floor after communion, in their own way claiming that God's love and grace are indeed for them as well. But maybe most importantly, having animals with us in worship reminds us that all creation was created by God, and God desires the flourishing of all creation, not just humanity. Now, this is abundantly clear in our scripture passage for this morning, an excerpt from the first creation story from the book of Genesis, the very first chapter in all of our scriptures. It's a beautiful poem about God's creativity and desire for the God-created world. And yes, let us remember that it is poetry. It's meant to evoke feeling, provoke wonder, and draw us into mystery, not to give us a scientific or historical answers. So let's dive into this poem together. It opens, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters." This is cosmic chaos, but God is in the chaos, sweeping over the face of the waters with pregnant purpose. Now, this morning, we skip over the first few moments of creation, but to recap what has already happened up until this point, God creates light and separates it from darkness, creating night and day. Then God creates a dome and separates the waters, creating the sky. Then God creates land, and on that land, vegetation, plants and trees of all kinds, those that bear fruit. The final creation before we get to our passage for this morning were great lights to rule the day and night, the sun and the moon. And here we arrive at the next things in the order of creation. God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created, I love this, the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. Sea life and birds of every kind." And the first thing God does is bless them. They are told to be fruitful and multiply, to engage in creation themselves. And God continues creating, saying, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Moving from sea and air, God creates upon the land domestic animals like cattle, creeping things that may even make our skin crawl, and wild animals that refuse to be tamed. God created all the animals and saw that they were good and commanded them to be fruitful upon the earth. But God wasn't done creating. God continues. And then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And so God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And I pause here so you can hear how this moment should be interpreted. Male and female are not meant to represent a binary or the only two ways that God created humanity. Just as the list of what God has created on land and sea earlier are not meant to be exhaustive, so too has humanity been created. A seminary colleague taught me this, and it has stuck with me ever since, that Hebrew poetry functions in this way, where the "and" in between male and female or any other list represents everything in between and around that which it connects. So too, these created beings in all their wonderful diversity, God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." I hope you're catching the rhythm, the repetition, the poetry. And God saw everything that God had made, everything that God had made. And indeed, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. God creates humanity, and it echoes those earlier moments of creation, doesn't it? Be fruitful and multiply, but with an addition. They're called to a special relationship with everything God has already created. Now, two words are used here to describe that special relationship, and they do deserve some attention this morning because, unfortunately, they've been used to justify some cruel abuses of that relationship we're meant to have with creation, basing it on power rather than responsibility. So dominion, sometimes translated as rule, and subdue. There's a harshness in these words that I don't think is necessary to what God intended. So first, dominion. We must not confuse dominion with domination. Instead, I would think of responsibility. For something to be under your domain means that you are responsible for everything within it, small and large. Healthy responsibility requires paying attention, having care and compassion and genuine love. And up until this point, God is the one who has had full dominion over the created world. Everything from the sun and the moon to the littlest of plants has been under God's care and attention. The second word, we must uncouple this word subdue from the world that has been corrupted by coercive power, in which subjugation is inherently violent. Instead, let us think of it as an ordering of things. In the cosmic chaos earlier in this poem, God swept over the face of waters and subdued creation as God separated night and day, land and water. God subdued the chaos with purpose so that all creation which comes next might flourish. So these two actions then, to have dominion and to subdue, are actions God has already taken up to this point in the poem. God has had dominion over everything and has subdued or ordered those things and now calls us to do the same. Humanity, created in the likeness of God, is meant to continue God's work of creation as their primary purpose. And though they are created last, and I've heard that cited, meaning they are the pinnacle of all creation, I would argue the opposite. They can't exist. We can't exist without the rest. Our creation is dependent on everything that has come before us. So to have dominion over something we are dependent on must always instill a deep sense of humility and thankfulness for that which we are entrusted to care for. In the second creation story, the one that comes after this one, we see that the first act humanity is given is to name the animals one by one. And the act of naming something in Scripture in this time was a profound one. They don't just name based on a rhyme like I did with my dog, we're Molly and Ollie. They name on a deep understanding of who the one being named is at their core. It's a sacred act, and one that requires observation, knowledge, and listening. It's intimate. So what does this cosmic creation story have to do with us and our pets? These little creatures that we dress up in silly outfits, we let snuggle with us in our beds, crawl on our arms, we bathe in our sinks or tubs, at times we may hand feed. These domesticated creatures probably didn't resemble that much of those first created animals, but I think they remind us exactly of how we're meant to think of ourselves in relation to all of creation. In a world in which it is so easy to be removed from the rest of creation, these animals that we welcome into our homes, our lives, and our hearts remind us that we are called by God to care for all living things. So we take them to the vet. We clean up after them, we groom them, we feed them, and we love them with our whole hearts. And as we do, they serve as daily reminders of our purpose. They're key to what it means for us to live as those made in the likeness of God. The flourishing we're called to experience is deeply rooted in our call for all creation to flourish through our love and care. As I went to choose our poem for this Sunday, I immediately thought of Mary Oliver, that poetic saint who was known for her observations of creation. And as I read through her poems, in particular all the ones about dogs, I was brought to tears more than once, pretty easy to do. But the poem I ended up choosing, which my mom read so beautifully, reminded me of my own pup, and the silly and sassy and sweet and sacred presence he is in my life. And as I thought about our scripture this morning, this ancient poem, which speaks of our call as those made in the likeness of God, Mary Oliver's question came back to me again and again. Could there be a sweeter arrangement? Amen.